One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Our Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, I thought we would have another excuse to talk about all things PS5. It's 11 p.m. for us in the UK as we record this. This should be going up tomorrow, though. So hello, future people. We don't know what the world's going to be doing in terms of reacting to the PS5. I'm going to assume that it's nice and positive because we've been super positive.
That's a good point.
I know.
I've not even looked at the general reaction. What if people don't like it? I love that. So excited.
That's so exciting. He can't keep his headphones on. But he can talk about Resident Evil 8. Now, we ran down some games in our initial freakout reactions. We did that for the first sort of... We literally sat down after the conference finished and we just sort of freaked out for a few minutes and recorded it. But we also have a list of all the games that were shown. And so one of the biggest ones is Resident Evil 8 Village, apparently, which has been rumored for ages. It's all about werewolves and supernatural entities. And they've confirmed the first-person perspective is returning and showed a bunch of gameplay. What did you think of that? I thought that looked absolutely incredible.
Right, you know what? I might take a lot of flack for this because I'm not sure where I stand on this, Scott.
They're off again, mate. They've gone.
Scott, Ben Roy, especially when he hears this, is going to go crazy because, like you said, we've covered the rumors on this and they all turned out to be true. Even the werewolves, which I thought was BS back on.
They look great, though.
But they look great. Yeah, but it's such... You can tell this was originally a spin-off game that's been turned into a mainline installment because it looks so different. And I'm a fan, like I've always said, you know, of this series taking chances in doing something new. But I was kind of watching it thinking, I need to know how this plays. I need to know more about it rather than just judging now because there are a lot of intriguing aspects about it. You know, the monsters look completely strange and weird. What the hell was Chris doing shooting Ethan's bloody... Was it
Maya?
Was it Mia or Maya?
Maya. Either way, is she gone? But what the hell was that? I freaked out at that because I was just like, we worked so hard to try and save her in Resident Evil 7. There's all the DLC. There's all the history of her. And I think she's like actually like a STARS member or something. And then one, Chris is hench again. He's back to boulder punching form. And two, he just empties a clip into her face. And I was like, what the hell is that?
Admittedly, how many times did Mia take a big beating in the first one? I'm pretty sure you axe her face off. It's one point very early in Resident Evil 7.
She's used to it. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. But, maybe. I just think I'm really excited to go online and see what other people, how they're reacting to this because it is so different. And I wonder whether people are going to go with it or be a bit cautious because I'm cautiously optimistic. I was not convinced by, because we didn't see much gameplay. It was very much, like a CG trailer. So I want to see how it plays. I want to see if it's as atmospheric as 7 because I love the first person style of 7. And I'm excited to see what they do with these wackier elements.
I thought, speaking of the gameplay cutscene divide, I thought the vast majority was gameplay. I know they keep cutting to different stuff, but I thought it was all in engine.
Well, I think it was, but it's one of those where it was cut in a way where I couldn't tell if this was actually gameplay or kind of like a CGI render of it that's being done in engine or something. The Assassin's Creed Odyssey, where it was like, this is our gameplay reveal.
Oh, yeah.
But it was shot from different angles and it was kind of heavily staged. So I want to see it properly in motion. I want to see the moment to moment. But obviously, we've got plenty of time for that. I love that it's coming 2021. I'm pretty sure it was early 2021. I don't think it had a month, but
I think they just said 2021. Yeah,
cool.
But I mean, it's been rumored for so long that, and like I said, they're carrying forward the first person stuff. There'll be some assets they can reuse from RE7. It's just, it feels like an extension of, because RE7 for me was like this smaller project. Like, it was very focused. I absolutely love the pacing in that game. I thought it was just this immaculate package. And it's like, if you're going to do these smaller scale Resident Evils that you can sort of get through, do one a year, like they've done RE2, RE3, RE8, and then do something else. I think it kind of makes sense to do them more considered now.
Yeah, I think, you know what, that's funny. That's what took me by surprise, I think, because when I, you know, the rumors were saying that it was going to follow on in the style of Seven, and I assumed that meant kind of like the locations, like, you know, the claustrophobic corridors, you know, this rundown shack or whatever. But this was kind of like grand, and it felt open, and it felt like bathed in this kind of, you know, sunlight. You know, you've got like the snowy mountains and stuff, and it was completely different aesthetically from what I was expecting. But, you know, that's like a good thing. I love that. Even though we had all of these rumors about it, and we knew the title for months, I was still surprised about what I saw, if that makes sense.
Yeah, man, they look great. I mean, like I said, they're pivoting into, let's do like different enemy types, like Resident Evil 7 had the molded. I mean, even like RE4, there's so many RE4 vibes in this, like the sort of village that's been disturbed, and what are they really hiding, and the secret of all these people, and they have all these traditions and things like that. And it seems like they're trying to hide this werewolf curse. And even when they reveal the werewolf form at the end, it's still kind of half human, and it's all kind of wretched and twisted, but they couldn't have got further away from zombies. But it's not anything new. So
No, it almost had like a Bloodborne vibe to it. You know, I was kind of going backwards and forwards on it, like the architecture and kind of like the enemy design, especially. And I'm a big fan of Bloodborne, so I dig the hell out of that.
Yeah, that was another thing that was rumored that might have shown up at the event, but I completely forgot about Bloodborne. Maybe they can sort of dive in and tick the box instead. Another thing that is huge among us is the next Horizon, confirmed title, Horizon Forbidden West. They did a much bigger or more direct job of showing, like, look, this is our world in the future, which in the original Horizon, I still remember reviewing that game and getting some map coordinates. You got like this sort of, these two sets of map coordinates that you can find in the game. I remember punching them into Google Maps and realizing that I was in the Las Vegas area and being like, oh my god, this is where it's all set, this is this big deal. In the new one, they just straight up show like the Golden Gate Bridge and show that it's San Francisco and show that you're going that way. You know, so there is that. But what did you think of the footage for Horizon 2?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it's another one that I kind of expected, you know, we all expected to see it. We heard rumors about like the motion capture for the trailer and stuff. But yeah, like the environments especially, I thought, looked so lush. And it was the underwater stuff that really kind of got me, adding that extra plane of exploration and kind of combat and gameplay. Like, seeing, I think it was the mechanical alligators or whatever it was, kind of like swimming alongside you.
Yeah.
I just thought that looked properly lush. And I think that's going to be the big showcase for the PlayStation 5, the first big showcase, you know, the first big first party thing. I know we've got Spider-Man, but this feels like very much like a much bigger next step.
The thing that fascinates me with Horizon is that I feel like, for as much as they planned it to be a series, they were always going to do at least another one or a trilogy. The first game pretty much wraps everything up, apart from Silence eventually makes off with Hades, the evil AI program or whatever. But in terms of like the plot beats that they sort of tease in this, it seems like, you know, they are repopulating the world. She has managed to kickstart nature. Everything's regrowing. But like, it's almost like the robots underneath are rejecting nature. And that's the thing that she needs to save. And I love that it's a continued conversation that's in the first game of nature versus nurture, and can you force something to live better? Like, all that stuff is great.
Well, I mean, like, the first game had that excellent thing about how it was like, you know, literally the end of the world. It was like the apocalypse, you know, like the entire ecosystem was just crumbling on itself and it had to be rebuilt. And I loved the kind of apocalyptic shots we got in this, you know, of like the red hues and everything, all of the kind of like monsters kind of like you said, rising up and stuff. And I want to see the kind of the beautiful new world that's grown out of the old world that we saw in Horizon Zero One start to crumble again, start to kind of become ravished by everything that's going on. I think that would add like a unique kind of dynamic between what you're trying to save and what the world's turning into. If they do go down that route, like, that would be interesting to me.
Yeah. There's all this stuff about like growth and sort of like, and they, in the first one, it was like, how do religions form and how do cultures form and how do they go forward with that from nothing, and what are you taught and what do you pick up and what's preternatural? And I adore Horizon. And it was, there was that bit in the trailer for Forbidden West where they show her sort of Aloy sort of scratch away some like kanji symbols or whatever, and then there's this big sort of old school like Japanese dragon sort of comes out of it, and she uses like her hologram sight to see that. And I was like, if you're going to start seeing remnants of cultural imagery, then I love that being something that you can touch back upon and maybe show how they cross over. And then it's like, well, which elements come back to the world? Like, that's great.
I mean, yeah, like we've talked about it before, but it's just such a fascinating premise to kind of uncover the world in that way. And some of the best parts of the original Horizon for me was, like you said, you didn't really know where you were unless you punched in those coordinates. I mean, I didn't, because I have no idea where things are in terms of geography in America. But yeah, like the kind of moments where you were uncovering the culture that came before and the downfall of the society and stuff. So yeah, to go into this game and kind of, you know, visualize some of the things that we have in our own world and kind of see them come to fruition in this kind of story where she's kind of reclaiming that history, she's reclaiming that culture, and she's using that knowledge to help rebuild the current land to be bigger and better than it was before. Like, it's just, we've talked about this again, I keep saying we've talked about this before, but like Horizon has such like a deep, rich, again, unique mythology that, like, even if they did, like you say, wrap up a lot of the points, there are still there's still enough complexity to that world. There's still so many things they haven't explored that I think they could easily jump into and give us something new.
Plus, as well, like, as much as, you know, before Horizon came out, it was like Aloy's going to be the next PlayStation mascot. She's going to be this huge deal. We're going to have her on the front of all the marketing. And as much as Horizon is one of the best games of the generation, I kind of felt like it kind of fell away after that. It was like all of our attention moved over to Kratos and Spider-Man and whatever. But as soon as it came back with this, it was like, yep. Yeah, all these things are immediately recognizable and iconic and identifiable. And, you know, you have like the robo dinosaurs, her costume, like they've stuck with the same one from the beginning of the first game. So it's like, this is what she looks like. You know, you can't customize, but this is what we're going with. Just all those elements were so great. Demon's Souls remake, totally true, was true all along. The thing that Bluepoint are apparently working on for all the different games they've teased, full on Demon's Souls remake. Now, I had a friend text me straight away and say, oh my God, it's the sequel to Dark Souls. do you think that they're maybe going to just ride that out? Because it just said Demon Souls, and then they can just be like, well, it's the next Souls, and go from there.
I think like the grandiosity of it and the way like Shuhei Yoshida came out before and was like, this is a special,
it's near and dear to me.
Like, I think they could easily do that. Obviously, you know, Demon Souls, for as much of a cult hit as it was, like, it didn't sell very well. It was a PlayStation 3 exclusive that, you know, a lot of people ignored until Dark Souls came out, and then everyone went backwards. But there are so many people out there who didn't have a PlayStation 3, who haven't been able to play it, but have fallen in love with From Software's, you know, From Software's brand of gameplay and story. Yeah, brutally hard
times.
Crap. Like, I haven't played Demon's Souls all the way through, you know what I mean? I've only tasted more or less the intro where you get your ass kicked in that first opening section. So I'm absolutely buzzing to go back and play this in lieu of a, you know, Dark Souls 4 or a Bloodborne 2 or a Sekiro 2.
I'm super, super curious what, because it's obviously Bluepoint, it's not From Software. You know, you don't have Hidetaka Miyazaki, you don't have those original devs. It is one of those things where, like, can you nail the feeling of a Souls game?
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? United Healthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
It's not FromSoft. It's the first time that's been done.
Well, Scott, this is what made me extra confident, because Blue Point are really good. They're really solid when it comes to remasters. They faithfully adapt things. And they've always said this is their biggest project that they've ever done, I think. I'm pretty sure that they've said that. But at the same time, it was confirmed that they're co-developing it with Japan Studio, who has experience actually on the original Demon's Souls and on
Bloodborne. Yeah.
Bloodborne. They did help with Bloodborne. So, like I said in that when we were doing the predictions, you've got a team there that, even though it's not from software and even though it isn't Hidetaka Miyazaki, you've got still the DNA of those games and people who worked on those games who understand how they work to hopefully do this game justice and kind of bring it back.
I'm also curious as well, like, how much do you bring across from the evolution of Souls? Like, for me, Dark Souls 3 feels really good. Like, I love the feel of the first Souls. I always find that whatever your first From Software game is like your favorite one. But like, the in terms of the, you know, the Souls formula has been refined over time. It's like, if you're going to go back to Demons, do you make it play like Dark Souls 3, or do you try and go back to where things were and make it more blocky and a bit more awkward, but maybe more rewarding?
I've never thought about that, because there are a lot of things that people, well...
Even the dodge roll, like, you can't even dodge roll in 8 directions in the original. It's just like, it's 4 and that's it.
Yep, like there's the multiple different ways to heal as well. I know you can buy those. I think they're pellets that get your health back, and you can just buy them alongside the regular vials and stuff. So I wonder, like you said, because there are going to be a lot of people, new to this game. There are a lot of people, again, so excited, I'm spitting all over myself. It's very late, I'm sweating, it's hot, I can't open a window. But I wonder if they're going to like make it kind of more in line with the more modern Souls to kind of update the combat in a way that would appeal to people who aren't used to that, more or less, want a first attempt at this formula.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, if I kind of want Demon's Souls fans to like shout out, you can like let us know in the comments on YouTube, come find us on social media. I want to know what people want from a Demon's Souls, like revisiting Demon's Souls. Do they want the exact same experience? How harsh and unforgiving it was? Because I have a friend who went through Demon's Souls and was like, you have no idea, considering, like how much they refined and perfected it going forward. Like, there's a reason Demon's Souls kind of gets forgotten about, because it is this awkward sort of like cumbersome thing, which is eventually rewarding, but you've got to put up with a lot. But yeah, in terms of another massive game, we touched upon this in the other video, but there's a new Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, which I love as a showcase of the SSD technology. I mentioned this in the other video, but I love that they've just literally designed a game around SSD technology. Make something that literally sees you warping between completely different biomes over and over and over again. I don't know if that blew you away as well, but I just thought that was an insane feat of coding.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like, the SSD, obviously Sony are treating it like a big thing, because it is a big thing, but we've had a lot of kind of cautious articles come out to say that, look, this isn't technology that's going to be fully embraced by third parties, because they're developing for, I think the quote was, the lowest common denominator. So they're developing for machines that can't, that don't have that same processing power. But when it comes to the first parties, they can go absolutely nuts with it. And I think that's what we're going to see. You know, we've got so many first party or even second party studios committed to making PlayStation 5 games that we are going to get titles that make the most of it, like Ratchet and Clank, that are going to kind of, champion it. Like, when it comes to I don't think that's ever been a problem before. You know, first party stuff always looks better on their respective consoles. It always makes the most out of the consoles. I think it's kind of like a foolish thing to expect the higher end features to be across all third parties, because that's literally never been the case in the history of video games ever.
But like, how much would that be such an insane step up? Like, graphics always look better on the console they're designed for, kind of thing, but you have a game that only works on PS5, like this version of Ratchet and Clank can only handle these levels the way they're made on the PS5, just because of the way the SSD accesses the information that's on the disc. I love the idea of all those first party studios or even second party studios just experimenting with that. And So we didn't even mention Spider-Man as well, which is a good pivot into that. Because that's apparently coming holiday this year. Spider-Man and Miles Morales just dropping in 2 years in.
I love it. I'm excited to know more about this because when it first came up, I was like, is this a DLC? Is it a game? It's been confirmed that it is a game, but I wonder whether it's going to be like, obviously it's not Spider-Man 2, but I wonder if it's essentially going to be as big as a kind of like a Spider-Man 2, a proper follow-up, or whether it's kind of going to be a stopgap before we get Spidey 2. It makes me, I'm asking so many questions, Scott, because of course I'm looking forward to this. I bloody love Miles Morales. I love him in the comics. I love him in Into the Spider-Verse.
Spider-Verse is the best Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, I love him in the first game. I want to see that character develop. And I got very giddy when I saw this. And I love that they're committing to make a full game around this character, because all of the rumors in the past few months about Spider-Man 2, the question has been, is he going to be playable? If he is going to be playable, is he going to have a major part in the story? Are you only going to be able to play him in certain sections like you were in the original? So to come out and be like, look, we've got another Spider-Man game. We've got another Spider-Man. It's coming out this year. Buy a PlayStation 5. This is what we've been talking about in like podcasts as well. Like, what does Sony have as a killer app? And I keep saying, like, Spider-Man is one of the most valuable IPs that they have. It's sold. I think it is now officially the highest selling first party game on console.
It was definitely up there,
It's like either one or two, one or second best. So the fact that you have a Spider-Man game out alongside the console at launch, like bundled together, that to me is like a system seller. Even though it's not properly Spider-Man 2, people are still going to go nuts for it.
That's another thing as well, is sort of changing the launch day curse, because you know, other than Super Mario World on the SNES, on the SNES, or you know, Breath of the Wild, and you know, other than Breath of the Wild and Mario World, there are hardly ever any launch games that are genuine greats. It just doesn't exist. Even as much as we want to be like, you know, the next generation of consoles, you're always waiting in limbo for like one or two more years before the really good stuff comes along. And if they can break that and just be like, look, launch day, bang, Spider-Man, it works. You get a day one, and it's one of the best games on the system for the rest of its life cycle. Then, you know, that makes best games of the PS5 a hard list to write multiple times a year.
Honestly, right? It's good. I'm so jealous of every single young kid who gets to wake up on Christmas Day with a PlayStation 5 bundled with Spider-Man. That was my dream for about 15 years of my life until I turned 25, Scott Tilford.
Why'd you give up on that dream, Josh Brown? You can still wake up on Christmas morning and play a bit of Spider-Man.
I'm too old now. My mum won't get me anything. You know, she'll get me some coal.
She gets you a modem instead. This the Virgin Media modem. But yeah, I mean, calling it Spider-Man Miles Morales makes it look like a side story, like it's not the numbered thing. But just in terms of that story going forward, obviously Miles is going to play a huge part in it. So it makes sense to do something more specific with him. We can end on a handful of other small things, but we'll not cover them in as much detail. One of them, though, was Ghostwire Tokyo. Finally got some gameplay and confirmed that it's first person, but it is Shinji Mikami's new game. And it's kind of this like, you know, recreation of Japan, very photorealistic, but then it has this underbelly of like demonic forces and different contorted, like people sort of become ghosts, look like regular sort of Japanese business people, but then they like contort and twist into other demons. What did you think of the look of that?
Yeah, I mean, I was excited when this was announced a few years ago, but then I think the creative director left and it was kind of like internally...
It was Akumi Nakamura, but I forget what her position was. But like, yeah, she left after she came out and was just sort of wowed everybody at E3 last year. And then, yeah, she left. But Shinji Mikami's always been on board with it.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like, obviously, like, yeah, his studio, Tango Gameworks. So I love the evil within too. So I was excited to see what they would do next. And this looks very weird and very strange. And I'm up for that kind of horror, cyberpunky, weird ghost thing kind of experience. I think that's coming 2021.
Something like that. I mean, the release dates are a blur. I just know that very lovely things are coming very soon. Like everything that they showed, I talked about confidence in the other video, but nearly everything they showed always ended on, you know, holiday 2020 or 2021. Like you don't have very long to wait. And that's always another thing that sort of stabs, you know, is always like a weird sort of bad aftertaste for most conferences because you always have to wait way too long.
That's a good point, man, because like, they could have easily come out, because we know the likes of God of War 2 are in development. We know Hideo Kojima is making a horror game. We know these games are happening because they've made too much money to not you know, be in production. They could have came out and just showed us you know, a logo for God of War 2, but they didn't because they're focusing on things that you would assume you're going to get within the first year or year and a half, and that is more exciting because then you have a kind of framework to work with. It's not going to be... I hope it's not going to be like when they showed Dreams and then we got it 7 years later. God.
Well, I mean, Corey Barlog said that we wouldn't have too long to wait for God of War 2 because they've got the engine down. I mean, with Spider-Man, they've made their 1/16th version of New York City. So it's like plug different missions into it. It should be a quicker turnaround. But yeah, another game that we can end on is Hitman 3, which I was not expecting whatsoever. And it had this, like you mentioned Cyberpunk, but there's like a synthwave vibe to the trailer and he puts his collar up like in Blade Runner. And I was just like, what? This is the coolest SHIT I've ever seen on YouTube.
Right, because there was kind of, I was a bit delirious, man. I'm not going to lie to you. I was a bit delirious watching this. I didn't know where I was half the time, half 11. But yeah, there was such a kind of weird vibe to it. Like you said, a synthwave sort of vibe. When I saw this dude with like his collar up, even though I knew it was IO Interactive and it had to be Hitman 3, I was thinking, is this something different? Is it John Wick? Is it what are they doing? What's going on? But then it was Hitman 3 and I was like, yes, you know what? This looks sick. And sadly, I've been sleeping on the recently rebooted Hitman games, even though I love the franchise.
Have you not
played
any of them?
I've not got around to them. I've played a bit of the first one because it was
PSA. But, no, just PSA, JB, and everyone else. The new Hitman games are the best ones you'll ever play, literally.
Well, this is what I keep hearing, Scott Taylor. Yeah. It's in the sale currently on PSN, so I'm actually going to go buy it and play it this weekend because this has finally convinced me. Yeah, I love that. That's coming January 2021. Yep. They said it was like the end of this trilogy that they've made, so I'm in desperate need to catch up now so I can play this. And
it looked phenomenal. Just that whole story of IO Interactive like leaving Square Enix but maintaining the Hitman IP and then sort of like going through like a bit of a lull, and the reputation was like sort of not as popular as it was, and they managed to claw it back, and then Hitman 1 and 2 are just so like artistically, creatively focused. There's not a corporate bone in their body whatsoever. They just want to make great Hitman levels and great mechanics and ways to kill people in those levels. You know, the things that make Hitman so much fun, that sort of twisted sense of comedy and humor that's in those games. I love the new Hitman games. I know Ben was a huge fan too. But yeah, Hitman 3 was one of the other sort of giant, big games that was there. But yeah, there's a ton more to talk about. We'll do follow-up videos. We've got more coming tomorrow. I know Benroy and Kirsten are going to do something more focused on Resident Evil 8 as well. And we'll do things throughout the week. For now, though, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
I will catch you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.